suffered.
Cut it, please. Thank you.
So I'm going to sing something a cappella. I want to sing City Called Heaven. My grandmother was, as Auntie Linda said, she was an organist and a pianist at Oakwood College for many years. And we didn't really do many collaborations. This was actually the one thing that she really wanted me to sing. You can't hear me? Okay. This was the one thing that she wanted me to sing and look at, so we just went in her music room one day and sang through it. And so I sang it for her funeral as well, so I always love to sing it in honor of her and just kind of reminds me of her, so I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Can we just close out now and go home? Hallelujah. That was wonderful. I knew I should have kept those voice lessons going. I knew it. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that. That was beautiful. Well, now's the time when we can all add.
Give me a clean heart so I might serve thee. Lord, fix my heart
until we give you first place, until we let you begin to fill us with your spirit, renew us from within.
Nothing matters, and nothing's gained without your holy presence. Our lives are lived in vain.
Amen. I'm so thankful to be here today and to see all of you here. We've been blessed already, amen?
Amen.
So I just want to continue to add to the blessings today. Let us say a word of prayer Dear God, we thank you today for what you have done for us today. Today, I know there are people who've come here who feel maybe that they're burdened down, they're tired, they're weary. And I pray that through your spirit and through the words of your servant, we may all be able to experience your rest. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we have our title there. The title of our sermon is Koroshi. Some of you may not know who that is, but I'm going to tell you. One of the things that my mother used to always say is that you guys are going to work me to death. My brother and I were twins, and when we would go to stores one day, one time, I would run this way, and my brother would run that way. And we were a handful. But even though my mom would say this phrase jokingly, in Japan, this is actually a real phrase, and that's the phrase koroshi. And it means death by overwork. It's a true phrase, death by overwork. And this is a well-known phenomenon in Japan where victims commonly work 14-hour days, 7 days a week, and die at an early age. And koroshi victims have been known to work 80 straight days and more than 100 hours of overtime for months at a time. Death by overwork. This brutal thing is rooted in the cultural which reveres hard work and self-sacrifice. And this is not purely a medical term, but it's a social medical term that refers to fatalities or associated work disability due to cardiovascular attacks, which are aggravated by heavy workload and long hours. So, while koroshi cases are not documented in the United States, but what drives us to work, work, work? You know, some of us are, you know, legitimately trying to provide for our families. And some of us are chasing money. Some of us are chasing wealth. But at the end of the day, is all of our work worth it? In a world where we are driven to work, 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 Jesus stands with his arms open and he says, rest. The invitation is to all of us to experience not only a rest from our work, but a rest that brings inner peace. Now, there is another type of death by overwork that we must be careful of. This is a spiritual death by legalism and self-righteousness. Say that again. There is another type of death that what we must be careful of. This is a spiritual death by legalism and self-righteousness. You may be trying to work your way into heaven, or you may be tired of the burdens of religious folk putting on you. Lord have mercy. We know some good religious folk. Jesus is offering rest from this burden as well. Today, my prayer is that we will find rest from every burden. Let's go to our scripture text. Now, as Sister Mackie said, I do have a theology degree, so I'm going to use it a little bit. I brought out my dusty Greek Bible. It's been sitting in my closet for years. And I made you guys a translation just for Southside today. So I'm going to read it in three versions. One is the NASB. One is the message. And then I'm going to read it in the translation that I wrote. So it says this. Come to me. This is NASB. NKJV is up there. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, let's see if we can find the message version right here. It says this. I don't have it here, but I'll read my translation. It says, listen to me. Are you presently sick and tired of being sick and tired? In order to find relief from this, the only way is to come to me. This was Jesus saying. Instead of trying to fit a religious mold, take what I am offering you. I am gentle and humble. What I'm asking you is easy. I'm not trying to burden you down. That's the Tabari Southside version. Amen. Let me get some water here. That's just for you. Can't find it in stores. So when Jesus says, come to me, he's offering an emphatic invitation. And the reason why it's so emphatic, because the only way that you can find the type of rest that Jesus is offering is through him. You can't get it any other way. So it says this. Jesus is... Okay, let me go back. Find my notes here. Jesus is specifically talking about... Okay, so Jesus says, come to me, all you who are burdened down. Now, in this passage, Jesus talks about two different types of being burdened down. One is active, and one is passive, meaning one is one that happens to you, and one that is that you do to yourself. So we're going to talk about the first one. So the text says, come to me, all you who are burdened. Now, Jesus, God is calling to us, and he's inviting us to accept his offer of grace. Now, the word that's transferred, burden, is means to grow weary, tired, or exhausted, to toil from burdens of grief. Have any of us ever experienced that? And Jesus wants to give us rest, and it says this. The word rest means to cease or to permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. So this is the type of rest that happens to you. And I can imagine that Jesus is offering us a type of rest that is rehabilitatory, if that's a word. Jesus wants to bring us into his intensive care unit. And he wants to rehab us from all the work that we have subjected ourselves to. We may be burdened from trying to measure up to the standards that the world has given us. We may cause ourselves to be burdened down because we don't love ourselves. We may cause ourselves to be burdened down because we don't like the way we look. Whatever your burden is, Jesus says, come unto me and I will grant you rest. Yes. As we continue on, so in verse 29, it says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So Jesus is talking about rest. But in this passage, he's talking about a specific type of rest. And in the message, translation, it was translated as this. Are you tired and worn out and burnt out on religion? Amen? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? And see if I can find a quote that I have here. Okay. This is a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. And he says this, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike Christ." Read that quote again. "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike Christ." There are many people who would be in the church today if it were not for Christians. Who in the name of religiosity put burdens on people that can be found nowhere in this Bible.
Hallelujah.
And that's exactly what was going on in Jesus' day. I remember when I first was introduced to the Sabbath. And for me, the Sabbath was a day where we watched. This was before I was baptized. This Sabbath was a day where I watched television, you know, because kids know that all the best shows come on Saturdays. And it's just, I don't think it's fair. I think it's a conspiracy, but we would go outside and we would play and we have fun. And Saturday was a day that was exciting for me as a kid. And I remember my dad and I and our brother, we would go out to, they called them swap meets. I don't know if you guys have those here in Bakersfield. And we would buy stuff. I watched my dad try to get the best deal on stuff. He would go and see something. He act like he didn't want it. And then we'd come back around and try to get it for a lower price. But this is what we did on Saturdays. But I remember when I became Seventh-day Adventist and we went to the church, I hated Saturdays. Because you would go to church, you would sit there, you couldn't do anything. And then when you come home, you just sleep. And we would sit there, we would look at the watch, trying to wait for the sun to go down. And as soon as those 60 seconds went by for the minute left for sundown, back to everything else we were doing. And this is the type of burden that religion has become to many people. It has become a set of rules, a set of regulations, a set of do's and don'ts, and people are burdened down by it. Let me talk specifically about what Jesus is saying. He says, what makes Jesus' yoke easy and his burden light? Okay, let me go back here. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to talk about some of the rules that the Pharisees had set up. When Jesus speaks, he's talking of yoke. He means submissively following his teachings. So when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon me," what he's trying to do is contrast the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees to his teaching. So he says, in the rabbinic writing, the yoke was used to designate the Mosaic law. Jesus rejects the notion that people find rest in keeping the law that the Pharisees teach. He asserts that following the Pharisees' teaching is a burden to have, to bear, whereas following his instructions will truly bring rest for your souls. Jesus' point may be illustrated by the reading through what is called the Shabbat in the Mishnah, and it specifies the number of activities that one should shun on the Sabbath. Now, Seventh-day Adventists have these rules too, about things that we can and cannot do on the Sabbath. I'm not gonna call any of them out, but you guys know them, you know. Some people say you can't even take a shower on the Sabbath. I don't know. I don't know. I know you guys heard that before. That's why you're laughing. But the Pharisees, they had all these different teachings about the Sabbath. Okay. So it talks about a number of things they couldn't do. So get this. A tailor couldn't carry a needle out of his shop if the time was near sundown on Friday, lest he forget it in his pocket and be guilty of carrying it on the Sabbath. Lord have mercy. And another one was, one must not let his clothes soak and dye over the Sabbath. Another one was that camels may not be led along tied together, but a man could hold their ropes in his hand, provided that he does not twist them together. All right? Another one was that one must not wear sandals with nails on the Sabbath, for it would be bearing a burden. And I'll just read one more of these, and you guys can get my point. And it says, an amputee may not go out with a wooden stump on the Sabbath, but only if his knee had pads which were not susceptible to uncleanness. Okay, here's one more. One was breaking the Sabbath if he takes milk enough for a gulp, or honey enough to put on a sore, or oil enough to anoint the smaller member. So it goes on and on and on and on about these different rules and regulations that were far from what Jesus had originally intended. So Jesus is talking specifically about the burden that we experience from religious observance. I'll read this quote from Desire of Ages. They taught much that was contrary to the scriptures. Jesus said, they bind heavy burdens and too grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. The Pharisees enjoined a multitude of regulations, having their foundation in tradition and unreasonably restricting personal liberty. In certain portions of the law, they so explained as to impose upon the people observations which they themselves secretly ignored, and for which, when it served their purpose, they actually claimed exemption. Lord have mercy. So here's a, we're going to verse 8. So let me say this. Jesus wants to offer us a yoke that's easy to bear. Now, if we read through Matthew, at the Sermon on the Mount, we'll see that Jesus is not trying to exclude us from the law. He's actually trying to magnify the law and show that it's even more in depth than you think it to be. They had developed all these rules and regulations on how not to break the law, but Jesus came to magnify it and show how the law can only be kept on our hearts, in our hearts. I'm almost done here. So, I had to say that because I see them people are tired, didn't sleep. Okay. So going on to verse 30, it says this. I'll read some different translations. It says, for the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light. Another translation always also says, I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting for you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. So, we have to understand what a yoke is, okay? Matthew was metaphorically speaking of a yoke in terms of the Mosaic Law. But if you have seen a yoke, it's a thing that goes on the neck of an animal. Some of you have seen it. Of two oxen. And there's usually an oxen that's stronger, and there's an oxen that's weaker. And the stronger oxen bears the burden of the weight to plow forward. So when Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke, what he is telling you that, okay, this law thing is difficult, and it's actually more in-depth. Okay, what was that? Okay, it's actually more depth than you think it is. But if you yoke up with me and you walk with me, you can do it. Amen?
Amen.
My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And let me say this. What makes Jesus' yoke easy and his burden light is that in Jesus' own active obedience, his perfect fulfillment of the law, he carried the burden that we were meant to carry. His perfect obedience is implied, imputed to us through faith. Just as his righteousness was exchanged for our sin at the cross, our obedience to Jesus then becomes our spiritual worship. Furthermore, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who works in our lives to mold us into the image of Christ, thereby making the yoke of Jesus easy and his burden light. The life lived by faith is a much lighter yoke and a much easier burden to carry than a heavy and burdensome yoke of self-righteousness under which we continually strive to make ourselves acceptable to God through works. You will only be able to experience the rest if you come to Jesus. Are you feeling like you're burdened down from trying to be a good Christian? Do you feel like you are lost in all this church stuff and you just want Christ? Do you feel burdened down by other people's expectations upon what you should be as a Christian? Jesus says, come. Jesus wants to offer you the rest. Rest from your own works and rest from you trying to save yourselves. Are you trying to save yourself by your own works? This results in spiritual death. Jesus wants to offer us life. I want to tell us a story here. And the story is prefaced by this. It says, nothing can choke the heart and soul out of walking with God like legalism. Mm. So there's a story of a man called Hans the Tailor. And he had a reputation of being an influential entrepreneur. And he visited, no, let me get this right. There was a man named Hans the Tailor, and an influential entrepreneur visited Hans the Tailor in order to make him a suit. And so when the man came to pick up the suit, the customer found that the suit had one sleeve twisted, right? And this way, and there was another sleeve twisted the other way. And one shoulder was bulged out, and the other was caved in. And he pulled and shrugged, and finally he was able to fit his body into this suit. Now, if you saw this suit, you was like, I don't want this thing. This is a piece of trash. And so the guy has on his brand new suit, and he returns home on the bus, and another passenger noticed this man's odd appearance. And he asked him he said, did Hans the Tailor make that suit for you? And he said, receiving an affirmative reply, the man remarked, amazing. I knew that Hans was a good tailor, but I had no idea he could make a suit fit so perfectly someone as deformed as you. Often, that is just what we do in the church. We get some idea of what the Christian faith should look like. Then we push and shove people into the most grotesque configurations until they fit wonderfully. That is death. It is wooden legalism that destroys the soul. So, we talked about death by overwork, but there's another death that we must be mindful of, and that is the death that happens when we get worn out on religion. You're tired of the hypocrisy, you're tired of the rules and the regulations and the burdens that are placed upon you by people who are rightfully well-meaning, but they got it all wrong. And Jesus says, if that's you today, I want you to come and learn of me because I am meek and lonely of heart. He says, I want you to come and learn of me because I'm not the type of person who, when you fall under the weight of all the burdens, I'm not going to kick you while you're down. I'm not going to give you all these rules and then wait and see what's going to happen. But he says, I'm going to walk with you every single step of the way. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you burdened down today? Are you tired of all the mess? Are you tired of all the crowd? Are you tired of all the obstructions just to get to Jesus? I want to invite you today with the same invitation that Jesus said, to come. Now, this call is not for everyone, but it's just those who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Do you want to cut through all the mess and just get straight to Jesus? If that's you today, I want you to come. I'm going to pray that God will grant you rest.
Amen. Amen.
Just come. God wants to grant you his peace. There are many people who would be in the church today if it weren't for the Christians. So I invite you to come. If you're burdened down, and we're going to say a prayer for you. Thank you for coming, sister. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Come. Jesus wants to offer you rest. Jesus is looking for the type of people who recognize that they cannot do it on their own. Jesus is looking for the people who know that they can't make it. Jesus is looking for sick folk. Jesus is looking for people who are burdened down, who are tired, who are weary, and he simply wants to extend his hand to you and say, yes, come unto me. You don't have to bear this burden alone. Jesus will do it for you. Let us pray. God, I just thank you for those who've come forward. You know their hearts. You know the burden they have. Many have tried to measure up to what their parents told them this Christianity thing was all about. Many have tried to measure up to what the church has told them. But God, we just want to measure up to your standard. We ask that you relieve our burdens, God. We ask that you would teach us what it means to experience righteousness, which comes only through faith. Lord, not in our own works, not in what we can do, but in what you have done for us. Lord, we are burdened down, and we just ask that you would grant us a rest. Not just a physical rest, but a rest that seeps into our very souls. So that when we leave here, we can lay down every burden, every weight which so easily besets us, and walk in the liberty that you have offered us. Jesus, your yoke is truly easy, and your burden is light. We want to exchange our filthy rags of righteousness for your robes of light. We thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand for the closing hymn. We're marching to Zion.